You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Pompeii, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Yeah, Ellen. Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Coco, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and we're heard all over God's magnificent planet on the World Wide Web.
We are on www.1510wwbc.com. You can get our shows live. You just hit that listen live button and you'll be able to hear us as we're on the air right now. But if you can't, for whatever reason, all of our shows are archived also on that same page. And then we post them also on cedamediainc.com, which is our website. And all of them get posted on Facebook as well, which is under Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Well, and I should say we're overjoyed that we have a great studio lineup today.
We do.
And we just want to give a shout out to all our listeners and our sponsors who've kept Viewpoint with Sita and Friends on air going on 12 plus years.
Yeah,
that's wonderful, Ellen.
I was watching some memories, and like all the 12 year ago memories are popping up at the other station. It's kind of cool. When we were only on for a half hour.
Well,
remember?
You're the genius that makes it happen, my friend. And so, and Paul and Danny and Samantha, we're a good team. So we sit here on Mondays and we usually have very fun, educational, informative shows. We give out information to people, whether it is about running for office, people who are running for office, whether you're opening a business, a nonprofit, whether you're a scientist, an author, you're creative, whatever it is you're doing, you want to talk about financial literacy, here's the place. You want to run for office, here's the place. We do it because it is our gift, Ellen and myself and Sam and Danny and Paul, our way of giving back to our community. And like Ellen always says, it's our job to educate people and inform them about what's going on, whether it's talking about kitchen table topics or topics around the world. We do it here in Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
That's right. And we just provide information and hopefully resources that people can check out their own stats and find out exactly what it is that they're looking for and what it is that'll help improve their lives.
That's right. And we could chat about a lot of things. Our show, our pre-show, was awesome. We chatted about just about everything in life.
We certainly did.
And but we don't have a lot of time, so we want to introduce our guest. We've got in studio with us Renee Torpy.
Good morning.
And she's running for judge, and you're running for your candidate for the Brevard County Judge 18th Circuit in Group 4.
That is correct.
Right. And you're the judge in that seat right now is our good friend, Rhonda Babb, and you are trying to get that seat.
Correct. She's retiring.
That's right.
Yes.
Yes, and she's retiring, and I know she is excited about spending time with her grandchildren. She is a personal friend of mine, and I hope that you get that spot. I really do.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
We need people like you here in Brevard to take care of us. And our first segment is with our good friend Ann Conroy Beta, and she is the president of the Junior Achievement of the Space Coast.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you so much. So glad to be back.
Yeah, it's always nice to have people that's been here before that knows how the show runs, because our show is really unscripted. We just talk, Ellen.
Right, and she has her beautiful daughter with her today, Palace.
Palace. Yeah, so tell us about the background of Palace's name.
Palace Green Patrick Bader. She's my third daughter. She'll be a ninth grader at Cocoa Beach Junior Senior this year. And she's named after a small village in Ireland. My family is from Ireland, and my ex-husband chose the name, and her personality is big enough to handle that big of a name.
Well, Palace, welcome to our show. Because I tell you what, with the Queen of England, Elizabeth, celebrating the 70th year in England reigning as queen, it is great to have a queen from the palace
right.
with us.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've been watching some of the festivities and all the clothing and outfits. I mean,
Paddington Bear.
Yes.
Paddington Bear.
Yes, and everybody talking about, you know, what kind of tea they drink, the hats. Oh my God, how does people get so creative with hats? We should have done something like that here in Brevard. Somebody should have thought about doing it. Irish girl.
We had
yeah.
Irish don't wear hats.
They don't? They do, though, sometimes. No?
Yeah, they do. Just kidding.
So, a little background on Anne. Anne Conroy Bader joined the Junior Achievement of the Space Course in 2014, and you're the new president, with more than 20 years of experience in non-profit marketing, and your most prior position was executive director of the arts organization in New York for 8 years. I didn't even realize you were in New York for that long.
Yeah, 8 years in New York, and actually 8 years in this position now. I'm not so new anymore.
Right, and you moved here more or less because, was it the weather or was it just
family.
A great job? Family,
yep.
Right. So the last time you came on the show, we'd spoken a little bit about financial literacy and what JA does. How does one get involved? You gave us the website, and you partnered up with a lot of people. And I know through COVID, there was a lot of stuff going on that you guys had to deal with. So let's chat a little bit from since then. What's going on over JA?
So many things. And who isn't talking about financial literacy in the past couple of months with the gas prices and talks of recession and everything? So it's becoming more and more important to be prepared as we move forward. And so Junior Achievement of the Space Coast is part of a global organization, more than 100 years old. We are the second smallest JA area office in the country of 108 offices, but we are consistently ranked in the top 10. And that's because we reach a large majority of the students in the Brevard public school systems. Our goal next year is more than 20,000 students with programs, free programs to the schools in K through 12 classrooms. They're all delivered by volunteers. And we focus on three different things: financial literacy, as I mentioned, entrepreneurship, and also workforce readiness.
Right. And if a school wanted to have a representative from JA come to speak with them, do they have to go through the Brevard school system, or do they just call you guys directly?
They can call us directly. Actually, there's all sorts of ways to get
on the web. Yeah.
We'll take any contact.
Yes,
you could go through the school system, and specifically the teachers and the administrators are very familiar with Junior Achievement. Superintendent Mark Mullins is on our board of directors for more than 9 years now. And we have very close contacts with all the school board members and upper administrators. But if you are a parent in the school board, in the school system, and you would like your child to receive information on how to thrive in life, how to choose a career, how not to go out into debt, how to start a business, those types of things that typically aren't part of the curriculum, we are an additive, we're like a vitamin for the curriculum. And you can just contact your child's student and have them, your child's teacher and have them reach out, and we will get them set up. We also have 50 board members, so many of our board members are well known within the community. You can go through one of them, or you can contact us directly. Our phone number is 321-777-0982. And we have a website at www.jaspacecoast.org.
Wow, she's good. But you know, we're looking at our nation where we're all talking about food prices, gas prices, interest rates, recession, healthcare. And we have a nation, unfortunately, there are a lot of people that are still illiterate when it comes to financial literacy. How do we get Brevard County and our nation more in tune with putting away that 1 cent, that $1 for a rainy day?
It's all about a foundation of principles. That's why we're in K through 12. So in kindergarten, we start out with wants and needs. By fourth grade, we're talking about starting businesses. By sixth grade, it's global economics. And by middle school, we're having them create personal budgets. In high school, we're having them do in-depth entrepreneurial workforce development experiences, and also even a teen shark tank that we run locally. So if you're... It's hard because there's so much information, and the schools are taxed with all the requirements that they are trying to teach their students. They're teaching to make sure that our school system, our school district is still number 3 in the state, which is a remarkable accomplishment. We're blessed in Brevard County with how quality our public school systems are, as well as private schools. There's quite a choice for parents in this county. But it's all a matter of connecting the dots. And, you know, in the situation in the economy that we're in right now, what an opportunity if you're sitting at the kitchen table to talk about gas prices, to talk about why we can't afford the extras this month.
Yeah.
To talk about also long-term hope and how to prepare for situations coming forth so that our kids aren't scared. I think that might be the number one thing, because if you develop anxiety around finances, that's when it goes south. And if you can give them tools to thrive in the future, which is what JA is all about, that's when our entire country thrives.
Right. And, you know, some people think when you say the term financial literacy, it's just like a long, impressive term. And they get scared and they're like, oh, my God, I can't do it. But it really, it's not. It's about sitting down. How much money do you bring home? How much do you take in? How much are you spending out? And trying your best at home to do what you can to save a dollar.
I absolutely agree about the financial literacy. We joke about it all the time. In fact, we created Junior Achievement at the national level allows area offices to be entrepreneurial. We get to create programs that are tailored specifically to our communities. So one of the things we did, Candace Hodge, who is my education and program manager, we created a program called Money 101. It wasn't called Financial Literacy 101. It was called Money 101.
Right. Keep it simple.
Yeah, keep it simple because otherwise it becomes overwhelming. And yet, financial literacy is literally the skills we use every single day. Do I use my debit card or my credit card? Do I spend an extra couple dollars on a latte instead of making my own coffee? How am I going to make rent this week? How am I going to plan ahead for the next year of healthcare?
Right.
It's all those decisions so that when our kids get to a certain age, they're able to buy a car, they're able to buy a house, they're able to live stress-free in control of their lives.
Right. I think it's all about long-term sustainability, right? Like, how do you plan for long-term to have sustainable wealth?
Absolutely.
And then you have to pass it on. Yeah. Then you pass it on to your children or grandchildren. But when you say things that are, people look at you like, I could never have that. But it is so easy. And I think that's why it's great to have JA and the people that work with you and volunteer go into the community and speak to people about it and not be scared about planning for your future.
Absolutely. Right? And that plays into the workforce readiness component of what we do too, because in order to have long term, you're playing the long game. It's hard to get kids to think beyond, you know, what am I wearing to school today? But we really want them to have a longer view of their lives and to think about return on investment of their education and career choices. We've got Renee Torpy and the student, you know, one of your guests today, and I immediately think, ooh, how many students can we influence to know that bright young women can choose careers that are challenging and in the public eye?
They're leaders.
Absolutely.
We need more leaders. That's right. Step up leadership, right?
Absolutely.
I see you want to jump in here, Elle.
Well, it's just simply the other side of it is that there's so many kids right now, children, I should say, young adults, that have to go through a paradigm shift too, because they've never experienced, because they've had, it's chronic, you know, it's generational, that people have been unfamiliar with money, unfamiliar with how finances work, unfamiliar with, and it seems like it's such a big deal, like you're saying, it seems like it's such a big deal, but for somebody who grew up learning how to recycle, learning how to save a penny, learning how to pay yourself first when you get a paycheck, you know, all of those kinds of things.
We learned it at home.
You learn it at home, exactly.
Well, the home is the foundation, right, for everything. And, you know, you hit on a good point, because nowadays with everything, people have direct deposit. Then they have a debit card. Some people don't even see a dollar. Now, I remember in the old days, in order to save a dollar, you see the dollar, you feel the word, you have skin in the game. But in today's world, you have people debit card, credit card, direct deposit, Amazon. I mean, it's like, how do we get our youngsters more involved the way our grandmothers, because everything comes back to the home, right?
Yeah.
The grandmother and the mothers taught us, if you make $10, put two away, put one away. But like you say, some people cannot put one away.
Not only that, Sita, but if everybody grew up in a family like yours, there would be no issues in the world. There just wouldn't be. So one of the things that Junior Achievement is focusing on is ending that generational poverty. We since I came on 8 years ago, we have quadrupled our reach in Title I schools. Title I means that more than 50% of the students qualify for lunch, for reduced fee meals. And that's probably the easiest way for the government to measure poverty levels. So we have quadrupled our reach in Title I schools. And then starting this fall, actually, we're making a major move in ending generational poverty. We've been lucky enough to capture the attention of Commissioner Christine Zonka, and she has allocated some of her CARES Act monies to Junior Achievement. We'll be receiving $700,000 this year, and we are going to create a five-year program. We're putting a full-time person at Cocoa High School, which is the only Title I secondary school in the country or in the county. And every student from K through 12, our goal is they all of them each receive JA programming every year, because those kids go home Some of them do, but, right. some of them, but a lot of them don't receive that kitchen table talk. They don't have the grandma who's teaching them the value of a dollar.
Or they're coming home that the electricity's turned off.
Exactly.
Right.
They're not sure where their next meal is coming from. So when you're living in survival status, it is almost impossible, number one, to teach your kids about surviving because you're so stressed about getting them the next meal. So that's where Jay is going to fill in the gap. We are going to have a person on campus every single day at Cocoa High School starting this fall, and then Heritage High School in the south of the county starting next year.
And it's hard to teach kids about needs versus wants.
Oh, my goodness.
When they're at home and they don't have that figure.
There's a barrage of social media teaching them every single moment what they should want and what everybody else wants and is getting, and that constant need that they're feeling is hard to, it makes them feel worthless and shameful.
Right, it's
and,
like the privilege versus yep. the underprivileged. Because yep. I remember when we were growing up, we were very poor. And we had to take our lunches. We had to plant. We had to help my father paint our home. He taught us how to lay bricks, how to put cement on it, how to use a trowel and
yes.
flatten it. And he would tell us, if I had to pay someone to do this, it would cost me X amount of dollars, which we don't have. Mm-hmm. So you all have to help. It was called labor-intensive work. We felt like we were slaves at some point, but we did it, you know, my sisters and I. And then as we grew up, we understood the value of our work
and
how
I
much
say,
we helped him.
When I say growing up in your family, it wasn't to imply that you had the financial means. It was that your parents were education-oriented.
Right, right, right. right. They were their foundation.
You.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
I too, grew up in a family. I couldn't get the Nike sneakers. I couldn't get the polo shirts that everybody else had. But I also was taught the fact that that doesn't matter. The internal value of what you are carrying in your head is what matters. And if you work hard enough and you study hard enough and you plan hard enough, those things will follow in turn. I had my first job when I was 12. I painted houses, the work ethic thing.
Listen up, Palace. I think that's a verbal cue for Palace. But you know, like...
No, this girl pitched me the age of 12. Actually, I'm an artist. I on my side gig, because that's one of the tools to get through recessions, is I'm an artist and I sell artwork. And at the age of 12, she created a presentation for me, a PowerPoint presentation, about how my marketing and sales techniques were not up to snuff, nor packaging, nor shipping. And for a 10% cut of the profits, she would help me out.
Oh,
and
good
she
for
still
you,
does to this day.
So we're living in a world where we see so much division and hate, and you know, we want to get to a place where everyone understands what generational wealth is. We want to get to a place in a world where you could pass something on. What does JA do to encourage, because there are people that live in the United States and generation to generation, it's like it's the same cycle. How do we help people to break that cycle and teach them that, yes, we do live in a country where the government does help us through programs to purchase a home, first-time home buying program. We've got interest rates. Now I saw where if you're a teacher or a nurse or police, they're giving you a reduced mortgage, right? And police. How do we get more? Because life is all about education and opportunities, right? And in addition to financial literacy, you're teaching people about these things. I know JA does. They teach parents how to get a footing for things like that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny you mentioned teaching parents, because that is part of what we do. We try to send information home to the parents to share. I can't even tell you how many parents will call the office and say, my child brought home information on how to get out of debt.
Right, right. That's what I mean. And it's nice.
And we don't do that direct education. We usually pass them off to other educational organizations, like United Way has a fantastic financial literacy program. There's other organizations too.
I work for We Venture.
Yes.
And We Venture, at We Venture, we do a lot of this. And it's funny because people will come in and they say, I want to start a business. Mm-hmm. And they, little side gig, right?
Yep.
They want to start a business of something. And I really have to go back to
101.
101.
Yeah.
Because this is, you're not thinking clearly. Getting money is not the idea. How to manage the money.
Right. You can't just help the kids. You have to help the parents too.
Help everybody.
Right?
Yes. No, it's full circle. Absolutely. And there's another organization we'll be working with at Cocoa High called Elevate Brevard. And they're kind of a one-stop shop for if you need help. They will refer you to all the organizations and educational resources to help you get back on your feet, to help you start the business, to help you with your financial literacy. Because It is hard. It is overwhelming. There are over 1,500 nonprofits in Brevard County, but my goodness, how do you find which one is going to do what? It's not as if people can spend all day on the phone or the internet researching everything. So there are resources in Brevard, like United Way, Elevate Brevard, WeVenture, who I am a mentor for. I love that organization. Mm-hmm. Catherine Redloff is a queen, and she's doing so much good work in Brevard County.
Yes, they're so inclusive, too. Yes. I mean, they include everyone, which is good.
Including men, which people don't know.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's known as an entrepreneurial program for women to start businesses, but they actually do provide services for women and men in order, because small business owners are the economic driver of any thriving economy. You've got to have the large companies, you've got to have the medium companies, you've got to have the small companies. And the more we can create the entrepreneurial culture in Brevard County, the better we will be. So places like WeVenture and Groundswell Startups and Legacy Angel Network are doing the work of creating that culture.
Right, and it's good.
Achievement.
Right, and it's so good to have so many women in Brevard who are small business owners too. I lived through a time when there were a lot of domestic violence in our family, in our friend circle, and women didn't have any kind of finances to help themselves.
Yes.
And when I see women, whether single woman, married woman, whatever it is, that are getting out of their comfort zone and saying, I can do this, it feels good. And I know JA also assists with that.
Absolutely. I am the mother of three daughters. And so I come by it naturally. And my parents were wonderful. I had three older brothers and then my sister and I. And we were equal in that family. We were equally able to follow any pursuit we wanted to.
You had good parents, too.
I really did. I was now, very, so wait, very wait, lucky.
Was everybody born in Ireland? Or
my dad was from Ireland. My mom was the fifth generation in a farmhouse in New York. So my daughters were the sixth generation in that same farmhouse in New York. So we were very grounded and on 2 acres in the most beautiful spot in the world. But so I'm the mom of three daughters. And my oldest was fantastic in math. Number one at Cocoa Beach Junior Senior. And she came home from school one day. And she said, I met with a guidance counselor. I said, ooh, great. What are we thinking? And she goes, we are thinking nursing or teaching. And my jaw hit the ground. And that is no slight to teachers. That is no slight to nurses. We have many nurses and doctors and medical field and education field. My grandma was one of the first female teachers in our little town. She had a 40-year career teaching second graders. And anybody who mentions her name starts crying. And so it wasn't that. It was this. It was that I was offered the same two choices 30 years ago when I graduated high school. And that is called gender bias. And we live on the Space Coast. And nobody mentioned engineering. So I'm happy to report that she is an industrial systems engineer major at UF. She's going to be a junior, and she's at L3 Harris on her second year of an
internship.
She's
soaring like an eagle.
Well, that's one of the challenges right now is simply the fact that the young people are going to school right now for jobs that aren't even created yet.
Yeah, and
so much technology. And that's where JA comes in, because flex and bend, and how do you take these marketable skills and turn it into something?
There's no straight path to anywhere. Exactly. There just is no straight path. But that moment, that jaw hitting the ground, inspired Candace and I to create a program called Women in STEM. So we place three young women pursuing STEM careers in assembly style format in all the secondary schools in Brevard County. We'll reach around 15,000 young women next year with stories on how they started, how they got to where they are. We all are partners in the county, Collins and L3 Harris and Northrop Grumman and the aerospace companies. Are happily providing young female engineers to participate in this program because they are really hurting on the workforce side. They need more diversity. They need more equity in their workforce. So,
and women can multitask. Let's be honest.
Absolutely.
We can do the 8-hour shift, go home, take care of our families, mow the grass, be the boss, be the CEO of our homes, run for office. We can do it. We really can. All we need is the opportunity.
Yeah.
And you're right. They should be talking about that more, because we're seeing men in nursing, which is great.
Yeah.
And
it's
but I want
both ways.
Right,
I'm not
right,
it's
right,
only
right.
About
you're right.
Women,
my son's an engineer, and my granddaughter Ruby wants to be an engineer, and she's already coding, and she's only 13.
You know what? They're going to change it, because right now, only still after all this talk about women in STEM programs for the past, I don't know, decade or so, still only 28% of the workforce is
female.
So we
need more.
We have such a local celebrity here with Carol Craig, right?
Yes.
She's amazing,
absolutely.
And I love her post that she did of her and her husband.
Doing.
And she's like, and I'm a real life Charlie.
Yeah,
he's a real life Maverick.
She's a multitasker.
Like, right. And she shows up in jeans and leather jackets and kind of like a shrug, like,
yep,
like this was easy.
She made it easy.
She didn't make it easy. She's amazing.
She's been on our board for about 15 years now. She is a JA laureate in the Business Hall of Fame. But let me tell you something. She has had Craig Tech successfully. That's why she's a laureate. But last year she started Zytus Space, which is the first female-owned public space company in the country. And yet she's still in the classroom volunteering for JA.
I know. We saw her at ABWA a couple of times, and she makes everything look so easy. I think it's her attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Her attitude is so positive that no matter what she touches, it turns into gold.
Absolutely.
That's how I look at Carol Craig.
And that's a mom with a special needs child,
mm-hmm,
that has a house, that has a husband, that has all kinds of things going on, plus two big, huge companies.
With a smile on her face and that shrug.
So tell us a little bit about the events that Junior Achievement of the Space Coast is having, and give us your website in case somebody wanted to volunteer,
okay,
or maybe a business that wants to partner up with you.
I'll do an event first. Mm-hmm. We have a really fun, relaxed event that anybody can attend. It's called Glasses for Classes at Helen Blaze's on June 28th, so it's coming right up. It is a 5-course tasting menu. Their chef, Drew, who's a young woman, designed a menu for us, and we'll have a silent auction, and it'll be a fantastic event. You can find tickets for that at jaspacecoast.org.
Where's it going to be at?
Helen Blaze's in Melbourne.
Downtown.
That's downtown.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
The old Christmas cottage.
Yes. Okay. And on what date?
Such a beautiful space. June 28th.
Okay.
Yep. And tickets are available on our website. In terms of other events, we've got things coming up in the fall, but what I really want to emphasize is volunteering. We are going to be looking for volunteers for Cocoa High especially. We need mentors to go into that school and to serve as inspiration to students. We'll be reaching more than 20,000 students next year. So we have opportunities from all the way, we say, from MIMS to Malabar, top to south, top south to north, whatever. Our programs run from major commitments. And I don't cut around, but you know, 1 hour a week for 7 to 8 weeks in a high school, to 1 day in an elementary school, to 1 hour in a high school. Like Renee could go into a classroom and tell how she became a lawyer, why she became a lawyer, where she started, where she is now, and all the zigs and zags she has experienced along the way. So there, we have all sorts of opportunities for volunteering, and with that is one of the major things that COVID has done. Volunteering has dropped off. You can talk to any nonprofit leader in the county. Volunteerism is at its all-time low.
Yeah, because you don't have a lot of employees at JA.
We do not.
How much is under 25?
Under 3.
Oh. Well, that is under 25.
And one is sitting in the chair next to you.
Well, how do they get all this done? I'm thinking they have like maybe 20 people to go around this whole county. So you need volunteers.
We are small but mighty, and we need volunteers to deliver every single one of those. We have a fantastic board of directors. We have 50 board members from all the major companies. And they recruit volunteers, but we really need everyone to help out.
So when I hear people say, oh gosh, I'm retired and I'm looking for something to do, I'm bored, I could say to them, call JA, give them at least an hour a month. They would be happy to take it.
Oh, absolutely. And not only that, but the companies in Brevard are philanthropically forward. And a lot of them, check with your management, because a lot of them will pay you to volunteer. They will give you paid time to go into schools, to go into a nonprofit. And I'm not advocating for just JA now. I'm advocating for all of Brevard, because the nonprofits really do need all of our help.
Well, I hold JA near and dear to my heart, because I remember when we were little back in Trinidad and Tobago, and we joined, we had something equivalent to JA, and they would give you like a little book.
Uh-huh.
And you'll write in there $10, and then you would write the $2 you put in. And there was such a satisfaction and such a feeling of accomplishment when you would take that book out.
Yep.
And my mother would sit there, and she couldn't even write, but we would put the $2, and it'll be $17.50. And it was your money.
Absolutely.
What a feeling of, you know, gratefulness to the universe, right?
It probably was JA. It's a global organization. We're in almost every country around the world.
Yeah, we had a little book.
Yep.
And now, of course, everything is online. Yep. So give us the phone number and the website one more time, and then we will try to go to our second guest.
321-777-0982. We are still semi-remote, so if nobody answers, please leave a message, and we will get back to you, I promise. And then our website is jaspacecoast.org, and there are email addresses. Feel free to email me directly if you have any questions or comments, or just, you know, want to chat. And this has been wonderful. Thank you.
And if our listeners forget who it is, it's the beautiful Irish lady who brought Palace in. And her name is Annie Conroy Bader, and she's the president of the Junior Achievement of the Space Coast.
So look at your calendars, everyone, and check to see how many dates you have available that you can start volunteering, because it's a very worthy cause. But for right now, we're going to listen to our sponsors real quick, and we'll be right back with Viewpoint with CETA and Friends right after these messages.
Christen Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. Delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture.
When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency room. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. Just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MEDFAST. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345. Located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne, that's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is CETA Begee on Viewpoint with CETA and Friends. Right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. It is sunny today. We're on AM 1510, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and we're heard on the World Wide Web. I'm sure if we told our friends in Ireland, they would have listened. to Annie Conroy Bader.
Friends. But I it would be remiss if I didn't announce this one piece. This next part of our segment is a political advertisement paid for and approved by Renee Torpy, and she is running for Brevard County Court Judge Group 4 in Brevard County, Florida.
That's right. And boy, we've had a lot of judges on our show the past 12 years, and they all win. And I have that good juju right now. She's young, she's beautiful, she's smart, and she's a leader in our community. Anyone who puts their heart and soul into helping women and children is a winner in my book, and you've done that.
Thank you.
We
so
need
much.
More people like you, and we love your T-shirt.
Thank you.
So Renee Torpy is in our studio, and she is running for office. And so tell our listeners a little bit about you. Now, you're like us. You're a Brevard County girl, born and raised in Satellite Beach. Went to Satellite High?
I was not born here. I was actually born into a military family, but my dad was stationed at Patrick Air Force Base. So I started attending Satellite High School, and then I never left. I continued my education at Brevard Community College and then went to University of Central Florida and then on to Barry Law School in Orlando.
Yeah, you took the good track that, you know, so many people complain about college. But it's so wonderful to spread that joy and that information about the 2-1-2 program.
Oh, absolutely.
When people go to Satellite, almost every friend I have, and my children included, they took advantage of Brevard Community College back then, yes. Which is now Eastern Florida, right?
Correct, yes.
And you got your credits, and then you go to UCF. And then, of course, you sit in a Florida school. My daughter went to UF and then to UVA Law School. But it's awesome that you did that, because that's what we need people like you to tell the students in Brevard, this is a track that you could follow as well.
Oh, absolutely. It was an extremely great program. I was able to get the Bright Futures program, so I was able to graduate undergrad debt-free. I'm very thankful for Florida for giving me that opportunity.
So tell us why you decided to throw your hat in the ring.
To become judge?
That's right.
So I love the courtroom. I've always been in the courtroom. I got offered my first job before I graduated law school as a public defender here in the 18th Circuit. So I took that job. And I also, after that, I worked as a state attorney here in the 18th Circuit. And now I currently work at a certified domestic violence shelter helping men, women, and children get injunctions for protections against their abusers. So I've always been in the courtroom, and I love being in there. It's like my happy place. I know a lot of people aren't happy to go to court, but I love doing the rules of evidence. I love having my witnesses, and especially now empowering these women when they feel validated that what happened to them was wrong.
And we've had people that ran for office that never actually worked in a courtroom, but you have.
Yes.
You have a percentage of your time that you worked on actual cases.
Correct. I would say 3 to 5 days a week I'm in the courtroom. If the deputies know me, the judges know me, clerks know me.
Did you always want to be an attorney?
So I actually got inspired by one of my teachers at Satellite High School. She taught legal studies, and I absolutely loved the class. And so when I went to UCF, I majored in legal studies, and I specialized in criminal law and individual liberties.
Yeah. Oh, you know, my kids all four went to Satellite.
Oh, okay.
So I have a special love for Delora and Holland and Satellite.
Yes.
Great schools.
They are.
But, you know, again, it goes back to what we were talking about with Annie before. It's all about the foundation, right? If you have the foundation and the helicopter parents, it works. Not everybody have that.
That is very true.
And that's when people like you who run for office, I mean, most people, when they come into a court, they're looking for a judge who is fair and who will listen.
Absolutely.
Right? So why do you feel you would be the best person for this position?
Because of all my courtroom experience, and then I've done both sides, being a public defender and an assistant state attorney. I've practiced criminal, obviously, and then now I'm practicing civil. So my current position as an injunction for protection attorney, sometimes like the women fight back and then they get arrested. So I even represent them as the respondent. So I represent the petitioners, the respondents, I've represented the state, I've represented the defendants. So I can see both sides, and I have that unique perspective.
Yes. So it's basically the experience with the cases that you've handled.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
You've been there. You've done it.
I have.
You know what to expect.
I have. And I've been able to practice everywhere from in the criminal world. I practice misdemeanor court. I did felonies. I've done juvenile. So I've seen what happens in juvenile when we were successful in rehabilitating those children. And they could do a 180 with their lives, and they became clean and became productive members of society. It was very rewarding.
So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Renee Torpy, and she's a candidate for the Brevard County Judge, 18th Circuit, Group 4. So let's talk a little bit about the roles and responsibilities of a judge.
Absolutely.
Of course, everybody goes into a job and they know their responsibilities. You have some big shoes to fill.
I would. I actually practiced in front of Judge Babb when I was a misdemeanor attorney.
Yes. So there's a lot of responsibilities that come with that position. And I feel like you will do really well in that position. So tell us a little bit about what you think you'll have to do.
Thank you. So I would treat everybody who comes in front of me with respect and dignity. And I think the most important thing is to remember, just because this is like the judge and the attorney's typical Thursday, that's a life-changing event for whoever's standing in front of you, no matter what their case involves. A lot of people are worried about what's going to happen to them in court, not what the court can do for them. And even if they originally think of it as a punishment, for example, if they are going to go to rehab, that actually could turn their life around and make their life better. So the court's actually turning around and helping them.
Well, and you know what? You're right. People are worried when they go to court for something, right? They already know that they did something wrong or bad. Some wants to change themselves. They want to redeem themselves. But all of us, we bear responsibility as well to help that person. For example, I knew somebody who was a tenant and was having some difficulty with her marriage. And the court took the children away. And I stepped in as a landlord to make sure she stayed in a home that was safe. So when her time came to go to court, that she could prove to the court that she's trying to become a better person. Because you have to have a place for the kids to live. The court is not going to give you back your children if you then get kicked out by your landlord. So I think all of us collectively, we're interconnected in some way. And we have to help each other. So I did that. I said, you know what, even though the husband was on the lease and he begged me not to let her stay in that home, I said, no, I was an abused woman at one time in my life, and I'm going to use my personal experience to help her. I'm going to say she's going to get to stay in my home. And with the help of God, she got her kids back. But she explained to me that that was one thing that the court wanted to see. Where are you going to take these beautiful children?
It is. Working in the domestic violence area, our concern is to empower the women. And so we have somebody who specializes just in relocation, and they will either help them be able to keep their home or be able to relocate, and we'll help with a U-Haul, we'll help them with deposits and make sure they have a safe place for them and their children.
Right. And people don't think about it that way, but all of us, we are supposed to do our bit to help, right?
Absolutely.
So one of the things that people always ask us when we've got candidates who are running for judges, so to explain to us about a jury trial and a non-jury trial. So explain to our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends what that actually is.
Yes, so the jury trial is more of what you would see on TV, where you have the panel of jurors come in. They do voir dire to choose who's going to be on the jury. And then a non-jury trial is just a bench trial. So then the judge is the one who's hearing all the facts of the case, and then the judge is the one putting the evidence with the law. So they're interpreting the law with the facts in the case.
Yeah, we all remember, I mean, most people who went in front of Judge Majeed always got that speech.
Yes.
I don't know if you've ever, well, for jury sometime, you remember his speech.
And
he's always about being an American and how great it is. I think it's wonderful.
It is.
So, of course, to be a judge, you have to have additional training and stuff. Do you have any things that you've published, any additional training that you could share with our listeners?
Yes, I've actually had articles published in different law journals. So I had one on maritime law, on salvaging shipwrecks. Being from Brevard County, we have the Mel Fisher Museum, so it's always been an interest of mine. And I had another article published on the CITES Treaty, and that's it was about the illegal trafficking of wildlife and plants and stuff. And it was an interesting article that I wrote about, because criminals were getting harsher penalties for drugs than they were trafficking endangered animals. So I wanted to bring that to people's attention.
Interesting. Boy, you do a lot of stuff extracurricular. And you've also gotten some awards here in town as well, recognitions and things for things you've done.
Yeah, so I was actually very touched. I have an intern, and she nominated me for Business Leader of the Year from the Band app, and I won that, and that was super exciting. I was also part of Ends of Court, and I got the highest member award there. So I do try to stay involved in the community.
Yes. Now, and we all know running for office takes a toll on a family. It's difficult. So share with our listeners some of the pros and cons of running for office, because you're a mom, you have a family.
Yes.
Right? So tell, because people think, you know, they wake up one day and there's a sign out on somebody's lawn. But, you know, behind that, there's a story. Someone is doing their best to get elected to represent our community. And as such, I think we should pay attention and give people our 100%. You go on their website, read about them, learn about them, why they're running for office.
Yes. And my website is Torpy, T-O-R-P-Y, and then the number 4, and then Judge, JUDGE.com. And my husband has been absolutely incredible. He is completely supportive. He's picked up the slack that I haven't been able to do. He's taken my daughters. I have 2 daughters. He's taken them to ballet practice. He'll have dinner cooked when I come home. We were actually all out to dinner as a family, and I got a text message to attend an event, and I needed to be there in 35 minutes. And he packed us all up, and he watched the girls so I could attend the event to be there. He's been absolutely incredible.
Well, he believes in you.
He does.
And that's what it takes, is to have that power at home, right?
Yes.
But also, you will be giving back a lot to our community.
Yes.
Once elected. So what do you think, what is your strengths and weaknesses when it comes to the community? What can you give back? Because everybody have a strength, and some people have something they have to build on, right?
That is correct.
So you have your strengths. So talk to us a little bit about
that. I do.
That.
I think my major strength, because if I'm elected, it would be for a county court judge in the criminal court. And with all my training with domestic violence, I understand like the importance of the batterer's intervention program and the different programs available to the victim. And I would be able to bring that to the bench and educate people. For example, Serene Harbor, like I talked about earlier with relocation, we also do microloans. So because people's credits are affected and they can't move because they don't have the home. So we'll help them build their credit. And I think a lot of it is that people need the information that is out there for the different programs to help them. Eastern Florida College partners so we can get them free education. We'll help them with their resume. We provide clothing for suits for interviews. Like, our whole mission is to empower so that they feel confident enough never to go back to their abusers.
I know. You know, when you think about what the judges do and the kind of people that come before them, it is a wide variety, right?
It is.
Adult diversity. So what are some of the cases that the circuit court judge adjudicates for?
For county court, the position I'm going for, the criminal cases are usually DUI, trespass, or, you know, driving under the influence. Sorry, I'm using acronyms.
Yeah.
Trespass, petty thefts. The prosecutors enforce city ordinances, such as open containers, different things like that. And it usually the state attorney makes an offer to the defense attorney and they work it out, and then it would be up to the judge to accept it. If it goes to trial, then the jury would decide if they were guilty or not guilty, and then the judge would give the sentence.
Yeah. I know, Ellen, we've had, my goodness, how many people that came on our show that were running for circuit court or county court judge?
At least 4 or 5 a year.
Yes.
Over the last 12 years, so it's worked out.
It's wonderful to see such refreshing people come on a show and try to make a difference in Brevard, you know? So you're looking for, do you need volunteers? Like, do you tell our listeners your website, your phone number, how they can contact
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. So you can go to my website. Again, that's Torpy, the number 4, judge.com. And then the email address is the same. It's torpy4judge@gmail.com. And we're looking for anybody to hold out, to put signs in front of their yards. We have quite a few of those. If they want to come and wave, we're going to be doing that later. So we'll set up a volunteer list. We are planning on some events. If they would be willing to help with that, we're hoping to do a barbecue at Wickham Park.
Right. And so let's get the dates for all of this. Do you have, you don't have a primary for this, do you?
No, we do. So,
oh, you do?
Yes.
Oh,
so
goodness.
I'm on the primary ballot. So early voting is from August 13th, 2022 until August 20th, 2022. And the actual primary election is on August 23rd, 2022. And if I am able to obtain 50% of the votes plus 1, then it will not go to the general election.
Right. So you do have a challenger then?
I have 2 opponents, yes.
Okay. Wow. So we have to do our best to help you to get elected.
Yes. Thank you.
So,
yes.
So, you know, sometimes you meet people in an elevator and yes. They say, oh, you're wearing a T-shirt. Who's Renee Torpy? if somebody were to meet you in an elevator like today or somewhere and to say, oh, who is she? What would you say? What's your 30-second blurb?
My 30-second blurb is that I'm a trial attorney. I'm from Brevard County. I love it here. It would be a privilege to serve the people of Brevard County, and that I would hope they would vote for me.
Oh, that's wonderful. How much time do we have left? Good. So we're going to keep chatting. Absolutely. So here's the thing. We were talking earlier about JA and financial literacy and things like that. You've done a lot of stuff in our community to help young women, men, children. Talk to us a little bit about some of the stuff you've done in town.
I try to volunteer whenever I can. My daughters are very involved in the community. So they, like I mentioned earlier, they do ballet. So for their ballet company, it's a nonprofit. And that's one of the reasons I love their ballet company is, for example, they volunteered with Meals on Wheels. And so when they went to go deliver, we rode in a separate vehicle. But when they went to drop off the food, the girls would do a dance in front of their house. And they would give back. And before COVID, we were going into the nursing homes and doing dances. And to see the joy on the people's faces of seeing the little girls in their tutus, it's very rewarding. They're also involved in Girl Scouts, so I volunteer for that, which is all about volunteering and giving back to the community and teaching them to be strong women and confident and independent.
And going to engineering.
Yes. Absolutely. My girl, my oldest daughter, she cracked us up with cookies because we sold the Girl Scout cookies. It was our first time this year. And people would buy and they were like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have money. She's like, oh, you can use a credit card. And she was on it. So I think she is my future business owner.
Yes. And I mean, you know, we all talk about, certain politicians or just people in general, we speak about, you know, what we can do to make our world a better place, right? We all talk about learning from education and life experience and the people that came before us. We certainly learn from mistakes and things like that. And we often hear people that say, you know, when they go to court for something, oh, I want to learn from my mistake. And we talk about reforms. What kind of reforms do you see in the future for prison reforms or things happening in our community?
So I can't really comment on that, but for the criminal justice system, for the adults, it is about punishment. We're juveniles about rehabilitation. But that's really all I can say. Yeah. I'm very limited on what I can say.
Yeah, and that's okay. That's honest. We do want a judge who's fair and honest, you know, so that's great. Because, you know, we've had people that come on the show and through so much bad luck and things that happen, we hear of people who are homeless. We've had people for housing for homeless. And we hear about the stories of people who were in prison before and they came out and they couldn't find a home. They can't find somewhere to rent to them. They can't find a job because they have a record. Yes. And so that is of concern, not just to me, but to a lot of people here in Brevard as well.
Correct.
You know,
I used to do Baker Act hearings when I worked for the state.
And you're shaking your head. You know about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them were very heartbreaking because, for example, if they got out of prison, like you were saying, they couldn't find a home, they couldn't find a job because they were a convicted felon, and they were actually at Circles of Care because they were trying to commit suicide because they're just like, there's no point.
Yeah.
And they had given up, and it was very sad and heartbreaking.
Yeah. So we need people in office, a person in your category who wants to be a judge, to also be compassionate.
Absolutely.
And so we've always said when people came on a show, you know, be trustworthy and loyal and fair and things like that. So you're in a unique position where you are a young woman here in Brevard County, Florida, that can give back to the ladies and teach our young women about leadership. So what would you say to young girls who are aspiring to achieve such success like yourself?
I would say hard work and dedication. It's been a lot of late nights. I worked two jobs through college. I was working as a waitress, and I also worked at a golf course to pay for college. I think you just have to be determined. It's how badly do you want it?
Yeah. And there are still a lot of people that feel as though they're disenfranchised. A lot of people still don't have the opportunities that they think they don't have the opportunities. I feel like we live in a great country. And I feel like education is where everything is, whether it's sex education or education about academics and trade and business. I feel like we have it. How do we empower more people in Brevard to take the opportunity and take that education and run away with it?
Well, I once heard that fear is just of the unknown. And so I always tell my girls that knowledge is power. And so the more you know, I'm like, nobody can take that away from you. You need the knowledge, and that will empower you and give you the confidence. And
I see our friend Annie shaking her head to almost everything you say.
I know. Yeah. She made me feel like I was doing a great job as a mom because I try to teach my daughters the value of a dollar. And when my oldest daughter wanted, I think it was like the little fake jewelry, you know, the clip-on earrings, the big plastic necklace, and she asked me if she could clean the bathrooms to receive it. And so she understood that she had to work to receive the money to buy what she wanted.
She understood the value of it.
She did. Yes. She did. And she did an excellent job. And she got her little dress-up jewelry.
Well, you know, that's what it is, though. When we come to court, which a lot of us people do, whether it's for a speeding ticket or driving too close to a police or something like that, you want to have somebody who you know is sitting on the bench that's compassionate and understands that a lot of us leave work, I think we leave home too late. And that's my weakness in life, is you got to leave 5 to 10 minutes early.
Yes.
Right? And I see Annie's even nodding to that. I mean, that seems to be my weakness in life, is late. I'll be late for my own funeral. Right? So, but we want to have a judge we can relate to. And you're so relatable.
Thank you.
Like an open door with you that people can speak to you. So give our listeners one more time your website. And if you have any events coming up where people can meet, maybe a meet and greet, or people want to just talk to you one-on-one and find out more about, you know, your background or anything like that.
Absolutely. My website again is Torpy, T-O-R-P-Y, the number 4, Judge, JUDGE.com. And if you would like to set up a meeting with me, I'm willing to meet for coffee or for lunch, or if you would like me to stop by your event, as long as it's not a political event, because then there's a lot of rules, so we would have to discuss that. Please email my committee, and that is at Torpy, T-O-R-P-Y, the number 4, Judge, J-U-D-G-E, at gmail.com.
Right.
So what do you think one of the resources, I mean, this might be a left field question, but some of the resources that are in town, we have so many, 1,500 nonprofits that are out there. What would be your number one thing? Of all the things that you've seen, what would be your number one resource that you'd give out to families or women or, you know, things to prevent them coming to see you?
Oh, to prevent that. Well, I would say I would go to Bavard 211 just because they have all the resources and they know where to direct you. But to like stay out of domestic violence, they need to have their own confidence. And that's why we're all about empowering them.
If somebody wants a yard sign, can they contact your campaign?
If they send the email, it'll go to my committee and they'll be in touch.
I have a property in US 1. I'll give you the address so you can put a big sign on it.
Oh, that would be great. Thank you so much.
When we get off air.
What a wonderful...
I know. I feel like I know her. I feel like she's my kid.
I know. Always a fantastic opportunity to meet new folks, new celebrities.
Good people doing great things for Brevard.
That's right.
And you know, what did Mother Teresa say? If you can't find a good person, become one yourself.
That's right.
And I feel like Annie and her and you, and we're all doing it, being the best we can. We're being our own best friends and
doing stuff. Don't forget to vote. If you're not registered to vote, you need to get out to vote.
Make a plan.
These are the people that are making changes in the world and certainly in our community. And right now, our community is our world, right?
Right.
So we need to do the best that we can.
And we need people we can relate to. People like Miss Torpy right here.
Yeah.
That can go to sit on that bench and have compassion and be just and fair and do what she can for all of us.
Once again, hopefully you got some resources today of things that you'll check into for your families, for your loved ones, for your grandchildren, whoever it happens to be. Make sure that you write down all of these things. If you have any questions, the show is replayable. You can get that on that MP3. You can get it from our website, cedamediainc.com. And once again, CEDA, another fantastic show. Please join us each and every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on 1510 WWBC.
That's us.
That is us. Each and every week. Thank you so much for joining us.